The President's Press Conference, October 11, 1951.
I have no special announcements to make. I'll try to answer questions if I can.
Mr. President, I assume that you haven't seen the list of awards made by Oxford Union this week and announced?
No, I haven't.
May I just read one of them to you? It's very short, about 4 lines long. So Dr. Robert F. Wayne of Northwestern University has been awarded a grant to study unconscious factors covered in courtship and mate selection. The various mutual needs that enter into the choice of a married partner will be surveyed in the light of new findings in the field of mental health. I wonder if you can tell us something about what this means.
No, sir, I can't. Well, sir, that's been a question ever since Adam and Eve, and I guess it always will be. Tony was trying to ask me a question.
I just wanted to know, Mr. President, what you will do about the 20 youth judges in Illinois and do the Senate action objection letter.
Well, we have to have judges out there sometime, but it will take some deliberation to find good ones, I fear. What was your question, Order? Now, you put a cracker on your question. If I told Secretary Forrest all that, I certainly must have had the letter. I haven't had a chance to look it up, but I think it was a letter of congratulation on being elected as president, just as I had bushels of them at the time.
Mr. President, we expect to make MRS and basic discussion on the Rules Commission report.
We're working on that situation now. I do not recall what was in the letter. I'll look it up and read it, and then I'll tell you what he said. No, I do not. No, they have further consideration to give it. No comment. I'm sorry that it isn't, but I don't like to say.
Mr. President, last week you were asked about the Army's order for the removal of crosses from 13,000 graves in White, and you said you didn't know anything about it. I wondered if you'd looked into it, if you knew anything new.
Yes, I've looked into it, and they're treating all the soldiers exactly alike. They've arranged to meet the Korean situation just like they have in other places. And the markers are being placed as fast as they can be obtained.
Mr. President, did you ever ask James Finnegan not to resign his collectorship in St. Louis?
My recollection is rather hazy on that. They say that I did once.
When did you first learn that he had extracurricular activities?
Just a short time ago. No, I will not. That's an educational meeting.
Mr. President, one more. Right, do I understand you correctly? You approve of the way the Army's handling this?
Yes. They're straightening everything out. I think you'll find if you inquire down at the Department of Defense that everything's been worked out to the satisfaction of everybody. No comment.
Mr.
Mr. President, do you have any general observation on the matter of Mr. Finnegan?
I did not approve of him, and do not approve of him, never have. What is the question over here?
I was going to ask,
I'll take that under consideration when the time comes.
Mr. President, what do you think generally of the idea of collectors of internal revenue having outside employment?
I don't think they should have, and never have thought so. I'm still of that same opinion.
Well, sir, are you going to do anything to stop it? As I understand it, it's permissible for a collector to have an outside.
Well, you find that the vast majority of them do not have. Those that get in trouble are those that have.
Sir, would you be in favor of a regulation forbidding it, the outside employment?
Well, I'll have to look at that, May. I don't believe that government employees should have any extracurricular activities at all. I never have thought so. But they're making it so difficult to get good men in public service that I don't know whether that's the right thing to do or not. We'll have to look into it. I've expressed my opinion on it.
Mr. President, you say they are making it so difficult. Who are they, sir?
You ought to know.
Bond.
You ought to know. If you can't answer that question, you don't know what's going on. Are you out of soap today or what?
Oh, we're right in the town.
Mr. President, are you glad to nominate a new man to the CBA?
Yes. Yes, when I'm ready to announce it, I'll let you know.
President, I'm proud of the Illinois judges. On the next time, you said there'd be some jewels and deliberation. On the next time, we should talk to Senator Douglas.
I'll take that under consideration. Not ready yet. As soon as I'm ready, well, I'll let you know.
Mr. President, what do you think of this plan that former Treasury Secretary Morgan so came up with today of having the UN create an authority to buy the British interest in the Anglo-Iranian oil?
I haven't given it any consideration, and I can't comment on it, Smitty.
Mr. President, I just wondered, we had to come over here to beat you to the elevator, and we didn't see former Senator Stewart. I just wanted you to tell us what he felt.
He just came in to pay his respects. He and I were good friends in the Senate, and he was in town, and he just wanted to see you.
No.
We discussed old times, principally.
Mr. President, would you favor taking the collector's internal revenue out of politics or the postmaster's?
Well, I'm not so sure of that. I'm not so sure of that.
I wonder why.
Because sometimes it's very difficult to handle civil service employees when they get in places of responsibility. There are so many regulations, it would be exceedingly difficult to fire one when he went wrong. And I like to retain the idea that when a man's not right, he can be immediately fired. Well, I think they're wrong about that. They've been fired every time one of them's found to have been wrong.
Mr. President, all the Illinois judges, do you intend to withdraw the nomination of the person who's been up?
Well, I understand the Senate's rejected them. There's nothing, no further action is necessary, Robert. See, the Senate voted and rejected them. And that finishes it.
I'd also have some movement.
Nothing more to do about those two judges.
Mr. President, just to clear that up, the difference between now and as much you said at the previous press conference, the Senate hadn't actually rejected them then.
That's right. That's
they hadn't
right.
Been brought to the floor.
They hadn't been brought to the floor. You remember a bit of history. Andrew Jackson appointed Martin Van Buren ambassador to Great Britain. He was 3 months in London and then was rejected by the Senate. It didn't injure his reputation, for he afterwards became President of the United States.
Mr. Mr. President, Bernard Baruch said yesterday that the Russians had invited him to come to Moscow a couple of times to discuss the A-bomb control program in 48 and in 49, and that he didn't accept the invitation. Then when he was asked why, he referred to, said that answer had to come from officials, the government. Were you in any way involved in his not going?
I knew nothing about it, whatever. All I know now is what I see in the papers.
Mr. President, do you think it would be useful to stay after the British election to have another big forum meeting? And if so, would you be willing to go to Europe
for a new week? I have no comment on that question.
Records in connection with a dispute over the conference with Senator Vandenberg and others on the China policy?
I think that Secretary Acheson answered that completely and thoroughly yesterday in a statement.
It's like we got a monopoly down front. Mr. President, I understand the AMVET group that you saw today asked you to get rid of Carl Gray.
I haven't seen the letter. I understand they left the letter, but they didn't talk to me about it.
Would you be likely to get rid of it under the circumstances?
Well, you know how I am about the people that I put in places, and I'm rather contrary about having other people tell me what to do with them. I don't know. I don't know, and I don't like to refer to that as a library of mine. It's an archives building that will belong to the United States government and that will contain the official papers and gifts that have been received by the President from all over the world for public use. And the land and everything will be deeded to the United States government just as it was to Hyde Park, and there's a law authorizing such a procedure, but there's no law authorizing appropriations for its construction. And I understand that there's been an effort made to raise the funds for the construction of the building, which will then become the property of the government of the United States.
Now talking about the proposed Truman Memorial.
Right? I don't want any memorial to me. I'm not ready for that. We're talking about the proposed building which will contain the archives of my administration. That's what it is.
I don't want a memorial.
I know you don't, Eddie.
Could you elaborate on what you authorized Secretary Short to say the other day?
Secretary Short said just what I authorized him to say.
Well, Mr. President, I'm not quite clear. Do you think there should be such a building?
Yes, I do.
But you did not know about the manner in which Senator Anderson and his...
No, I did not. Mr. Short answered that. No, I didn't know anything about that this evening.
Do you have any method by which you think you could properly...
No, I have not. I have no method at all. All I hope that there will be a place where these papers can be stored without being scattered all over the country, you know. The papers of nearly all the presidents have been misplaced, and it's been very difficult to get the facts of their administrative acts. And this new archives bill, which I asked the Congress to pass, is proposing to take care of that situation, not only for the president, but for all the top administrators of every administration. And then the historians will have access to the papers whenever they want to see them. They'll all be in one place.
Do you think that's better than having them concentrated in Washington?
Yes, I do, because it gives access to people who could not otherwise have an opportunity to see what they contain. It'll be under the control of the archives. And the archives building is fast becoming too small to hold what we have there now.
When President Roosevelt decided to have his archive talk, the argument was made that it would be better for scholars if it were all concentrated here, because then they could get the difference.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree?
No, I don't agree with that. I think President Roosevelt was right in what he did. No, no, indeed. General Eisenhower came to see me and asked me to appoint General Bradley. And I never asked General Eisenhower to quit at all. And whenever I've been able to use him, I've always used him ever since. I never had any such conversation as I recollect. I'm sure I didn't say that because I'm very fond of Eisenhower. He was an excellent chief of staff, and General Bradley was too. So was General Marshall. I haven't had a bad one.
Mr. President, you said that you would like to see the archives of the President's report in a library. And I say this very respectfully, would it include
the tablet copies of letters that you had written? Oh, yes. It'll contain everything. I've got a stack of files over there that's larger than any other president ever had. It would fill two rooms like this.
Thank you. Mr. President, just keep it straight. Will Mr. Anderson and Mr. Allen continue in regard to this collection?
I suppose that Mr. Allen will. I didn't know that Anderson had any connection with it. I know it did. I said, that's the first time you got it. They're excellent, very dear friends, but sometimes the friends get overzealous, Pete.
What was that last thing?
I said those two gentlemen are very good friends of mine, and sometimes your good friends get overzealous without any intention of doing any harm. I'm sure that's what happened in this case.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome, Smitty.